Now, we got trumpet here. We got trumpets, okay? Should have had your trumpet with you. Right? And they're blowing trumpets. Now, the first four, if you remember, we had destruction on the earth. But now we're ready. We're ready for that sixth trumpeter. I show us this in chapter 9, verse 13. Does that sound about right? Okay. What I want to do is we'll just read this a little bit, and we are going to go down to the end of the chapter. I know we won't get through it, but let's just kind of frame it up. Now, in verse 12, the first woe is past. Remember, the eagle flew over. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you read in the Gospels, there's a time when Jesus has the seven woes. Now, I ask you now, is there anything in your life where, you know, the angel could come by or Jesus could come by and go, whoa? Or how about your neighborhood or our community? I just did a radio show this week, and it's about the sign you see now. No backpacks, no big bags, no strollers, no this, no that. And I went in and I was really angry with that sign. I went into the Ace Hardware. I want to talk to the manager. The manager came up. She was like, what's wrong with this guy? I said, your sign offends me. She looked at me. I said, don't people know it's wrong to steal? Without missing a heartbeat, she said, no. There are people coming in that they deserve it. You know, they have been oppressed. You're just, you know, the capitalistic, you know, businessman. Well, if you're in California, you could steal up to $999, and you don't just maybe get a ticket. What's wrong with our society? How have you fallen apart? Right, Marcella? Okay, now, Marcella, would you start us at 13? Do you want to read Daniel? You're in? Okay. Come on in. We're in Revelation 9:13. Grab a Bible, a chair. Okay, there's one. Okay, Marcella, go ahead.
Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet. I heard a voice speaking from the four corners, blow over it, stands in the presence of heaven.
So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind.
The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. We're at 9:17. Are you ready, or we'll catch you on the next round? You there?
9:17. Want me to read it?
Yeah.
And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone.
18 to you, Marcel.
One third of the people were killed by the two terrible plagues caused by the fire. The smoke blew some.
Was part of the horses who were lost also of the tails. The other white snakes were fixed. And usually to hurt people.
The rest of mankind were not killed by the plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols, gold and silver and bronze, and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk.
Verse 21, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, nor their thefts. So that's where we are today. We have the sixth trumpet that is sounding. Do you need a Bible, Sharon? You need a Bible?
I have
them. Okay. All right. Comments, things you noticed, or anything you questioned as to what's going on there. Anybody got something that stood out to you?
It's going to be a terrible time.
Going to be a terrible time. Okay. Within a generation or even in our lifetime, when I think of the Holocaust, I was listening to a radio announcer, I can't remember his name, he's very conservative, used to be an advisor to Trump.
Sebastian Gorka?
Yes. And he talked about, they were talking about, you know, hurting our country because there's so much shooting. It seems like every day you hear somebody pulling a gun out and shooting somebody. And he says, that's wrong. But he says, what's even worse is if you take guns away from people, especially law-abiding people. Because imagine the Jews were easy to round up by the Germans. Why? They had no way of fighting back. And hearts and minds and everything were turned against you know, the Jews. And he wished that every Jew had had a way to defend themselves. Now, that's just a thought. Okay? Now, moving on. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet. I heard a voice coming from the horns of the altar that is before God. Now, we talked last week the idea of the altar of incense. And you remember at one point, one of the angels had scooped up burning coals and fired them down on the earth. And we're going to have like a Sodom and Gomorrah that's going on this back side of the page here. But the voice coming from the horns of the altar, okay, was it joined by the martyrs that are under the altar? Were they part of this voice that is calling out, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates? Anybody, hi Bob, anybody keep up with what's going on with, you know, the Colorado River's a mess because we don't have enough water. The Mississippi River, it's so low they're stranding barges. And the Ohio and the Missouri must not be doing good either. We're in chapter 9, Bob. The idea of this shortage of water, well, do you know what's happened in the Middle East? Anybody keep up on it? Euphrates is dry. It is dry. Now, what happened is Euphrates starts up in Turkey, and it flows down through Syria, and then down on, you know, through, help me out here, Iran, or Iraq. Anyway, somewhere in here. But the thing is, yes, there have been dams built on the river. And yes, there are times when the river, you know, it's a way of kind of, showing your might, you know, you cut off the water to somebody else. But, you know, I'm a YouTube junkie. If you get on YouTube, they are recording, not just there, but around the world, these sounds that they can't figure out how they are made or where they're coming from. But they have some they recorded, it's alleged, in the area of the Euphrates where it's dry. And they have even found different dwellings and stuff that used to be there, that were carved into the rock. Well, that moaning and groaning, and it almost sounds demonic. And when you listen to it, you wonder, wow, you know, are we that close? Could we be that close to the end? You think so? You do? Okay. I mean, when World War II went on, I thought about that. I watched some documentaries again on that. And I think of World War I with trench warfare and gas and artillery and all that horrible stuff and how many millions died. And then World War II was worse. And, you know, they say we'll have yet another war, you know, kingdom against kingdom. But release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. Now, Steve Cooper, we're in here. We're in Revelation 9, about verse 14. If Steve Cooper were in here right now, he would point out that, and I did that reference, I can't remember what he would point out. I can't remember what I was going to say. Anybody got a good comment?
Well, where there's inflation, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but the horsemen from up there, that, are we...
Not yet. Okay. No. And this one, now there is some discussion, this is in the Good Lutheran Commentary, but there's some discussion, are these the same four angels that held back the wind earlier? Remember, there were four angels, they were holding back the wind. And there are some commentators who say, yes, it must be those same four angels. But I don't think that's a point of the verse. The point of the verse is, and when we heard in church today, and you'll hear when you hear the gospel lesson, Jesus is talking about the destruction that's going to come all these beautiful stones will be thrown down, and that idea. And it says, the four angels have been kept ready for this day, hour, month, and year, and they were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, do good angels, you know, the kind we hope watching over us, do they go out and kill a third of mankind? Or are these demonic angels? What do you think? I mean, it doesn't give us a clear picture there, does it? Okay. Yeah?
He was talking about this huge granite rock that came down from in Yosemite.
You mean just recently?
No, he was talking, some man, his son, had been climbing, and he was holding on to the rope for the fellow above him.
Yeah.
Well, the fellow above him there, he kept holding that rope, and he was killed. And when they found his body, he still was holding on to that rope.
Oh, my goodness.
To save the fellow above him.
I didn't hear about that.
Just thinking, and they say that those rocks are going to keep coming down more and more in Yosemite. It's going to be a bad thing there. But it's just thinking that could be part of the.
Well, could be. There is talk that you know, as part of Revelation, we hear of earlier, we heard of all the destruction and everything. But they talk about a time coming when the earth will be shaken so hard. I think we read about it last week, where it'd be like the figs falling out of the sky. I mean, even the heavenly bodies seem to be coming down, and the mountains are turned upside down. One of the side effects of this shot I got this last week is I get insomnia. So I turned on my computer and let it run, and was talking about Edgar Cayce. Have you ever heard of him? The sleeping prophet, but he had made an alleged vision that there would come such a shaking, hasn't happened yet, that continents would be uplifted again, like in the days of Noah, that the water levels would change, and you wouldn't even be able to recognize some of the cities. Talked about Europe collapsing into the water and all these different things. Now, when that happens, how can we be prepared? How do you stay prepared? I mean, I look at the Ukraine right now. That's the closest I've come to kind of what World War II must have looked like in some fashion. But I'm able to sit back, dress well, eat well. You know, my life really isn't impacted. But what about when it is our life? What is it? If it were to happen here, or has it already happened in different forms? They say that the pressure is building up in Yellowstone, that volcano could blow. And, you know, what would that do to our climate? Imagine, you know, no sunlight. And when you think about killing a third of mankind, oh my gosh.
And when you don't have sunlight, you can't grow food.
And you can't grow food. And how long would it take to, you remember when Mount St. Helens blasted off? Did any of you get ash where you were?
Yes.
We did. Yeah. And that idea of how long, there was a, this is one of those books, you know, in Today in History. I remember there was one summer in the early 1800s. It was called the summer that was winter. And I think it had to do with maybe Krakatoa, where some huge volcano had gone off. And those people were hand-to-mouth farmers. I mean, if we didn't get a crop that summer, we're going to be kind of hungry this year. You know about that, farmers, right? Got to have that crop. It says here in Ezekiel, I have a reference here, and it talks about, we're going to get there in a minute. So Ezekiel prophesied that Gog of the land of Magog would come from the far north, and the hordes advanced against Israel to cover the entire land like a dark cloud. And it says here in Ezekiel chapter 38, starting at verse 15, it says, Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, I will give you the answer. I will, if I give you the answer, will you not kill me? Even if I did give you counsel, you would not listen to me. But King Zedekiah swore his oath secretly to Jeremiah. As surely as the Lord lives, who has given his breath, I will neither kill you nor hand you over to those who are seeking your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, this is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel. If you surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, your life will be spared. The city will not be burned down and your family will live. But if you do not surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, this city will be handed over to the Babylonians and they will burn it down and you yourself will not escape from their hands. And the king Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have gone over to the Babylonians, for the Babylonians may hand me over to them, and they will mistreat me. Verse 20, they will not hand you over, Jeremiah replied. Obey the Lord by doing what I tell you, then it will go well with you, and your life will be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, this is what the Lord has revealed to me. All the women left in the palace of the king of Judah will be brought out to the officials of the king of Babylon, and it goes downhill from there. This idea of what is to come. Comments, thoughts, reflections, anything. Okay.
Well, this is a woe, correct?
Yes, so very much a woe.
That means that, if I'm understanding it right, that this happens where the plagues, the children of God are protected from the first four.
Right, in the first four.
Now, the woes are for all mankind.
Could it be for us?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Very much so. But go back to the first four. Okay, it didn't directly affect me. It's like me sitting here and they're having a war in Ukraine. But might it affect me? What if I had family members? What if my people came from the Ukraine? Or what if my grandniece was an exchange daughter to the Ukraine for a year? And you know, we have family in England because we have exchange daughters. When it begins to affect you, what if it's the Christian community? What if it's your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we sometimes forget that or overlook that? You know, I love the magazine, The Voice of the Martyrs. I do have to tell you, if you don't know what's happened there, they had a president who took many millions of dollars, which had been donated, to build a very nice, spacious office in Oklahoma City. And the question was raised, why did you use the money for that? We were doing just fine with rented office space in Toronto. Why did you do that? The problem is, the building's so expensive, what do you do with it now? But it does not change that people are suffering. They're suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody here pray for the deliverance of China in your daily prayers? I do. And I think about how many Chinese Christians have to be underground. You know, there is a Christian church in China, but, you know, you have to do what they say, preach what they say, don't preach certain things. And just like it was in much of the communist countries and in other countries, no, we will not. The Word of God will not be bound. Did you know, and this was in my lifetime, I always wondered if being in Boulder, would there come a time that I would either be, probably more than likely, sued. You know, I'd be sued for preaching the Word of God in Boulder, especially if I happened to preach against LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever it is. If you go to Canada and you read the scripture, it says homosexuality is an abomination. That's against the law in Canada. You can be arrested for it.
And they have been.
And they have been. And you have experience with the Masterpiece Baker. You've actually met the man. You know? Oh, you never have? I want to go down. The masterpiece man was the man years ago who is an artist with his cakes, like my daughter is. Nothing as good as his, of course. But he was asked, you know, would you make a cake for us? And it was a homosexual couple that was getting married. And he says, I'm sorry. It's my artwork, and I can't go against what my church teaches. I can give you the name of people who will do a cake for you. And we have other, you know, stock cakes that you could use. Plant a couple people on it. Somebody will write happy, blessed marriage or whatever. But I cannot create a masterpiece. He ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled in his favor. He came home and they started a whole new lawsuit. And through some negotiations, that all calmed down. Well, now it's fired up again. And it's with a different person this time.
Transgender now.
Now it's transgender.
It's not about a cake.
It's not about a chunk.
Yeah, it's not about a cake here.
Now, how does this all fit in? This fits in when we have to live out our faith in a fallen world. We may be one of the one-third that gets killed. We may suffer. What's going to come in a little bit is that idea of the mark of the beast. You know, we got that coming up. Last time, weren't you the one that, I think you did, Mark, the idea of you had the man with the linen suit, and, you know, before we go out to destroy, you know, we're going to put a mark on those.
I don't think that was me.
That wasn't me. You know what I'm talking about? It said here just recently, it was in I gotta find it now. This is they had to have the mark of God, and yeah, it just happened.
Are you in 9?
Is it 9 where that happens? I thought it was sooner than that.
A little bit earlier than that? Okay.
Yeah, the idea of if you had the mark, you know, they wouldn't. You wouldn't be killed. The man in the linen suit, or the linen.
Yeah,
it was in the first set. I usually know where it is by the column on the page. It's got to be before 9. I'm pretty sure.
There's one in 9.
There's what?
At verse 4, he said they were told not to harm the grass.
There it is.
Or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads.
Okay, thank you. That's exactly what we needed. In that earlier time, you know, they were marked. We talked about in the with Moses in the time the Jews, the time of the Jews, and they put blood up the doorposts and across the top and down. That idea of, you know, that you'll be okay. Now we like that mark. But then there's the 666 mark. Is Satan trying to copy God? This comes up a lot. We're going to be talking about the Dark Trinity. Satan is very much trying to show that he has got, you know, his rendition of what is going on. He is God, Satan thinks. And that if you follow me, it's a much better deal. You know, that God you're following after, you know, oh, I can do so much better for you. Take my mark, not his mark. And do you think there'll come a time, Sharon, when people will be wooed? You know, oh, you just don't understand, you know, about God and all this religious stuff. You just follow with me and we'll be okay. Do you think that might happen?
Yes.
I think it happens all the time. I think it's happening. It has happened from the Garden of Eden on.
Well, another thing that, well, a kind and loving God wouldn't allow this to happen.
Oh, that's right.
That will come. That will be a natural.
You know, God is love. You know, you follow after me. I know we mentioned it, I think, in one of the Sunday classes. In one of the, if you saw the movie The Passion of Christ, and you see God's Son up there on the cross after having been beaten and rejected and just hammered away at. And then you see Satan, and he's carrying a baby. You remember that in the movie?
Yes.
We're all like, do you remember that? Oh, it's I think of that idea.
It's creepy.
Well, it's the idea of, look how I would never treat my child like that. I would never treat you like that. You follow after me, says Satan. Isn't that what it's about? Yeah. And he would say this whole thing about hell and destruction and damnation. Oh, that's just what they say to discredit me. Why do we need to be in the Word of God? Okay, guys, I know we only had 20 minutes today, but I want to thank you for that. We will pick it up next time. We're going to talk a little bit more about these horse and riders. I know you kids got to get upstairs. The horse and riders, and I want you to think about their breastplates. And I want you to think about the colors of them, because it has a lot to do with the temperatures of fire, especially with sulfur. And, before we had grasshoppers with the face of a woman. Oh, look how pretty she is. But the roar of a lion, right? Like Marcella here. Ah! And their tails had a stinger. Well, now we have these mounted troops, which I still can't find that one picture of an attack helicopter. And it had a picture of a lion's face on the front. A lion's face on the front. And, we think about that destruction that's coming. Okay? Next week we get together? Thank you for coming down. You've been for just a few minutes. I appreciate it very much. And here comes the boss. We're coming, boss. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to watch over all of us in Jesus' name.